the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity, Salamu Alaikum, and so welcome to this episode of today's special. We're going to speak about haste in Islam. Be with IRIB English Radio.
So blue upon my eyes with a thankful heart. Today is another brand new start. I feel so positive. Just wanna do my best and show this world I'm living in all of the love that I can give, give, give.
There are many things that I can do.
Many things, yeah.
That can make me feel so close to you.
To you, to you, to you.
Oh. Joy within my heart can be
Today, Thursday, is the 8th of Shawwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 30th of Urdibehesht, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 20th of May, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran, we'll look at chapter Yunus, we'll listen to verse 11.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Walau yu'ajjilu Allahu linnasi sharra isti'jalahum bil khayri laqudiya ilayhim ajaluhum. فَنَذَرُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ.
And if Allah was to hasten for the people the evil they invoke, as He hastens for them the good, their term would have been ended for them. But we leave the ones who do not expect the meeting with us in their transgression, wandering blindly.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse deals with the subject of punishment and reward meted out to the evildoers. First, the Quran implies if Allah punished the evildoers swiftly in this world and hasten on their punishment at the same speed in which they are after the good things of this world and their own interests, there would be the end of the world and no traces of them would remain.
Some might say this world today shows God's left us to our mistakes. Oh, He has never been so far away. Some might say, how could any father stand? His children across millions suffer so and give no helping hand, no helping hand. And somewhere tonight, far away and out of sight, there's a child that's too weak to cry. And deep in those eyes, can't you see him in disguise? Reaching out to the heart that's in you.
Warning against haste. Haste in judicial decisions, court rulings, and settling disputes among people ruins their lives and wastes their rights. Imam Ali said, "The Messenger of Allah sent me to Yemen as judge. I said to him, 'O Messenger of Allah, are you sending me as judge when I am young and have no knowledge of judicial matters?' The people then said, 'Allah will guide your heart and keep your tongue firm. When two litigants appear before you, do not decide between them until you hear what each one of them has to say. Thus it is more likely that you can see things clearly before you make your judgment. Since then, I have not had any uncertainty about which judicial decision to take.'" Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin as-Sain. In this episode, we are going to talk about making haste as viewed from the perspective of Islamic instructions. Elsewhere, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen as-Salam indicated that opportunities move, opportunities fleet like the fleeting of clouds. Another one is that Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen as-Salam indicated that making haste is abominable, is absolutely not acceptable, except in doing positive jobs. Okay, the fifth infallible Imam Muhammad al-Baghir alayhi salam indicated that whenever I mean, the project of doing something good comes to your mind, okay, do it without hesitation, because you don't know what would happen to you the next day, the ensuing day. It must be indicated that usually those people who make haste and are rather impatient, those people who are restless, impatient, usually they lack a characteristic, and that is paying enough attention to the proper jobs that they are expected to fulfill. Because they want to do everything out of haste, and this haste makes waste. Well, we find that there are some people who try to do everything quite hastily. For example, in learning something, or for example, in teaching something, and so on. Those people who want to learn everything, for example, at an instant, usually lose quite a lot of materials. I mean, the materials and the points that might seem not that important at the first sight. However, in the long run, they find out that, okay, had they been patient enough to receive the lessons one by one, phase by phase, or lesson by lesson, they would have improved much more. And at the same time, we find that the practices of the infallible imams have been in such a way that in some jobs they tried it always to be the first. I mean, they tried to do everything without delay in the prime time. One of them is, for example, the performing salat. When we hear the a voice of Muazzin who's calling the believers to the church, to the mosque, I mean, for performing daily prayer, for performing daily prayers, we are expected to make haste. We are expected not to lose this opportunity, because we don't know, I mean, what would happen to us if we have lost this, I mean, opportunity. It has happened to many people that, for example, at the prime time of performing salat, they postponed it, but later on, for example, an unfavorable event, I mean, happened to them, and they didn't have even a minute. I mean, they couldn't find even 2 minutes for performing the mandatory salat.
One light, one hope, one heart, one soul, one chance to know, one time to go.
There's just one call from my heart, pulls me to a world apart. There's just one word that I hear, one trumpet calls me near. When the spring has been unwound, what is lost will soon be.
Haste in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. In haste there is error. Few are the one who makes haste and are not ruined by it. Everyone who is hastened asks for more time. One who acts hastily is best ridden by blame.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIV English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the.
Now look before you leap. Step 1. Actively listen. Active listening is a vital tool to help you stay out of your own thoughts. Reflect back to the other person what they said. Once you have reflected back, ask if there is anything else they want to add. Using this technique, you slow yourself down, which enables you to think before you act. When you respond, ask them for feedback before taking action. Step 2. Explore the benefits of patience. Think about situations where you take your time and don't jump to conclusions. What prevented you from making quick decisions? Why was it important to wait? What did you gain from waiting? Bottom line is to engage your natural curiosity and explore. The next time you're about to jump to a conclusion or make an impulsive decision, think about what else might be there to explore.
So it's important to understand that flow, that the development of a thought into a decision. And so going back to that idea is that, you know, we have the stimulus and we have the response. And sometimes that stimulus can be just a fleeting thought. Sometimes it could be a thought that enters and it sits there. Sometimes it could be the internal conversation that we have. But between the fleeting thought and the motivation and the firm resolve to execute, there's a space. And within that space, we have the freedom. You know, we have the freedom to ruminate on a thought or let it go. We have the freedom to engage in negative self-talk or let it go. We have the ability to pick up motivation and do something good or not. And so it's important to understand, my friends, that, you know, and going back to the original idea that I mentioned, that, you know, even though we've been in 14 months of lockdown, you know, and it could seem like sometimes there's nothing that's in our control, the reality is that in every situation, it doesn't matter how big or small that space is, that there is a space that lies between our thoughts and between our actions. And that is a great opportunity for us to hit the reset button and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the things that we need. So if it's that we're struggling with certain thoughts or certain feelings, certain emotions, now is the time to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to be conscious of that and then change the direction of our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring relief to all of those who worldwide are in need of that relief. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanillah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات نعل به درجات.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and condolences to all on the fateful 8th of Shawwal, the anniversary of the sacrilegious destruction of the sacred Jannat al-Baqi cemetery in Medina some 90 years ago by Wahhabi terrorists, who razed to the ground the blessed tombs of the Prophet's prominent companions, wives, aunts, uncle, and especially four of his 12 infallible heirs. That is Imam Hassan Mujtaba, Imam Zain al-Abidin, Imam Muhammad Baqir, and Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon them. It was the habit of the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, to regularly visit this blessed graveyard and salute the dead with the words, "Peace upon you, O abode of the faithful. God willing, we should soon join you. O Allah, forgive the fellows of Al-Baqi."
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing the tradition of the Aql and the Jahl and the battalions that are contained within these two armies, the tradition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, we have reached this segment of the tradition where the Imam again mentions two traits. And these are two traits that, you know, have a lot of practical implications in our lives. One, which is obviously on the side of the aql, is known as tu'ada. What this means, or some have translated as circumspection, rather, it is that particular trait that when a person wants to do something, he ponders and he thinks and he, you know, draws a blueprint in his mind. He looks at the positives, he looks at the negative. And he's, you know, calm. And he's taking all aspects of that particular action he wishes to perform into consideration. So basically it means to take the negatives and the positives and to weigh them up and then to make a decision. You know, so, you know, taking your time, not just, you know, jumping into things. No, this is what it means. You know, to be calm, to be precise. You know, at times a person might need to seek consultations and counsel on these acts. So this can also be included in here. And on the other side, the antonym, and that particular trait that has been directly placed in conflict to this, is what is known as tasarru', where a person is hasty. You know, he's a jool. He just wants to do things. He does not weigh up the possibilities. He does not seek counsel. He does not even, if he does seek counsel, or rather, if a person gives him counsel and tells him, you know, right now this is not good for you, he doesn't listen. And he just wants to do what he wants to do. And he is then hasty in that act. And as we can see, that a person who, you know, takes his time, ponders, you know, circumspects, the result of that particular action that he does will obviously bear greater fruits. This is the general principle. Then that person who has not seen all the angles around that particular action, therefore he will have missed something. He will not have said, he will not have thought, even with a pen and paper, no writing down notes. No, he just wanted to jump into a particular act, not realizing the dangers that it may possess or it may contain, and therefore creating a problem for him and those also around him. It's a possibility. So So therefore, an aqil, a person of intellect, is always one who takes his time, who perceives, who is precise. Whereas on the other side, a person who is jahil is a person who is hasty, who just wants to do things without proper thinking. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who are precise and who take into consideration everything that needs to. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
أدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناديتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio, a program which aims to make us more familiar with the Holy Quran. This program consists of many interesting parts. We are going to listen to a recitation by a famous reciter. An expert of the tajweed of the Quran will analyze the recitation. And also, in the final part, we will have amazing stories about those people whose lives have been changed by the Noble Quran. You're tuned to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And I, Mahdi, ask you to stay tuned. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of Surah An-Nisa, verse 100, by Brother Karim Mansouri.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن يهاجر في سبيل الله يجد في الأرض مراغما كثيرا وسعة ومن يخرج من بيته مهاجرا إلى الله ورسوله ثم يدركه الموت ومن يخرج من بيته مهاجراً وكان الله غفورا رحيما صدق الله العلي العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran on IRIB English Radio. You just listened to the recitation of Surah An-Nisa, verse 100, by Brother Karim Mansouri. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَمَنْ يُهَاجِرْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. In the phrase مَنْ يُهَاجِرْ, we have a idgham, an idgham of nun sakina into one of the letters of يَرْمَلُون, which is ya. Therefore the nun sakina is not pronounced, instead the ya becomes mushaddad and also nasalized, because it is one of the letters of إِضْغَامْ مَعَ الْغُنَّةِ. Ya, the four letters يَمُون are the letters of إِضْغَامْ مَعَ الْغُنَّةِ. Whenever إِضْغَامْ takes place into them, you have to apply شَدَّة and also غُنَّة for two vowel counts. وَمَنْ يُهَاجِرْ, as you can see, we hold the ya nasally for two vowel counts. وَمَنْ يُهَاجِرْ. يُهَاجِرْ, the ra is pronounced with tarqiq because the ra is sakin and is preceded by a letter with the kasra. So we have to pronounce the ra with tarqiq, with thinness. Yuhajir, not yuhajiru. Fi sabilillah, sabilillah. The lam of Allah is pronounced with tarqiq because it's preceded by a letter with a kasra. وَمَنْ يُهَاجِرْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يَجِدْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُرَاغَمًا كَثِيرًا وَسَعَةً. يَجِدْ, we have قَلْقَلَة of دَال in this word. The sound of دَال should not be trapped in its place of articulation, but rather we have to make sure that the sound of دَال is freed. That is, right whenever the articulators touch each other, they retract, and they allow the sound to bounce back from its place of articulation. يجد, يجد. It's not a fatha, kasra, or dhamma. It's a neutral sound. يجد في الأرض مراغما كثيرا وسعا. In the phrase مراغما كثيرا, we have إخفاء of نون ساكنة. مراغما كثيرا. So as you can see, the nun sakina is not pronounced. Instead, we have to approximate or place the tongue in the place of articulation of kaf, and at the same time make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Again, we have إِدْغَامْ مَعَ الْغُنَّةِ, إِدْغَامْ of nun sakina مَعَ الْغُنَّةِ. مَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ, we have Iqlab of Nun Sakina, which means Nun is transformed into Mim Sakina, and that is because there's a Ba after the Nun Sakina, and the Mim Sakina is pronounced with Ikhfa. Mim Bayti, the mouth is slightly open and slightly closed, and at the same time a nasal sound is made for two vowel counts. Muhajiran ilallah, we have Ilhar of Nun Sakina. Muhajiran ilallah. وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ, the meme is nasalized for two vowel counts. ثُمَّ, you have to hold the meme for two vowel counts. يُدَرِكُهُ الْمَوْتِ, we have the قَلْقَلَة of the دَال again, similar to يَجِد. This is يُدَرِكُهُ الْمَوْتِ. فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Again we have another قَلْقَلَة, but this time it's the قَلْقَلَة of جِيم. أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And the lam of Allah here is pronounced with تَغْلِيل because it's preceded by a letter with a fatha, which is actually a alif al-mad. but because Alif al-Mad and Fatha are essentially the same, we just say Fatha. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Again, the Lam of Allah is pronounced with Taghleel because there's a Fatha before it. غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Both of the Ra's are pronounced with Tafkheem. Other than that, we have Idgham of Noon Sakina into Ra, which is Bila Ghunnah. There's no nasalization. We just have the Idgham. غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And at the end, we have Waqful Ibdal, the kind of waqf where something changes from something to something else. So here we have rahiman, it becomes rahima as a result of waqf. We have to read the alif al-mad and not the tanween al-fatha. Thank you, dear listeners, for listening to this segment of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. I invite you to listen to the next segment of this program. Thank you.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the noble Quran.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters, welcome to our program where we try to look, find and become acquainted with some of the beauties and beautiful stories that have been attached to some of the verses of the Holy Quran and how these verses have impacted the lives of individuals like me and you, and sometimes even greater. Men, the Holy Quran enable a person to completely, you know, change their lives. In our previous program, we spoke about the verse from Surah Yasin. It is the 36th verse of this, the 36th surah of the Holy Quran, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about coupling. It speaks about there being this necessary for two things, you know, of the same kind of species coming together in order for things to continue. And the verse, again, the translation goes, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Immaculate is he who has created all the kinds of what the earth grows, and of themselves, and of what they do not know. So, another story that has been mentioned in the book, Durusud Diniya, regarding this verse, is that the same scholar who we mentioned previously, that is the scholar from Mashhad, he narrates that once a son of one of his friends, so the scholar had a friend, and the son of this friend was learning English with a Christian. And this son of his friend once said to the scholar that, my teacher says that how do we know that the Quran, or the glorious Quran, is a divine book, that is a book that has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has a divine source. What answer can we give, or what answer can I give to this Christian teacher of mine? So the scholar says that I said to this young boy, or this son of my friend, say or tell him that the Quran speaks about things that have only been discovered recently, and he spoke about it over 1,000 years ago. And it gives news of these things, and it shows that these are the results of it. And obviously, during the time when the Holy Quran was revealed, there was no such thing as this scientific discovery or this this positive attitude towards research and the ability to research and to experiment and so on and so forth. There was nobody who could do it. They were not the tools. Not only were not the tools, there was no one who wanted to do it. They didn't have the want. So the scholar then recites certain verses to the brother. For example, it's the verse that we mentioned above from Surah Yasin, Subhanalladhi khalaqa al-azwaj, you know, this concept of coupling and so on and so forth. And then again, another verse from Surah Luqman, verse number 10, is quoted by the scholar. And again, he says from Surah Qaf, verse number 7, is also quoted. So these verses all showing the coupling of plants, the concept of pollination, that this a creation of two things, a creation of a couple, is something that the Holy Quran spoke about over 1,000 years ago. So the story continues and says that when the young boy or this youngster went to his teacher and told him this, it is said that this Christian teacher of his never spoke anything about the Holy Quran again. Inshallah, until our next episode, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say I am a Muslim. If you ask her why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Talk about some of the laws of miscellaneous nature according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Sistani. Before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
The Grand Ayatollah Sistani comes from the family of scholars and pious men. He learned theological and rational sciences from many eminent and well-known religious scholars. At the age of 5, His Eminence started learning the Holy Quran. He was then admitted in a religious center for reading, writing, and for learning basic mathematics and geography. In the beginning of 1360 Hijri, he started studying basic Hausa lessons. He also studied a number of books on philosophy like Sharh Manzumah Sabzawari and Sharh Ishraq. Meanwhile, he attended Kharij lectures by the late Mirza Mehdi Ashtiani and the late Mirza Hashim Qazwini. In the late 1368 Hijri, he migrated to Qum to accomplish his studies in fiqh and usul. His Eminence left Qum for Najaf al-Ashraf. On having arrived in Najaf, he began attending Qayatullah Khoi and Sheikh Hussain Hilli's lectures in jurisprudence and the fundamentals of jurisprudence. In 1380 Hijri, Ayatollah Sistani traveled back to his hometown, the holy city of Mashhad, expecting to stay and settle down there. In the same year, he was awarded a permit by Imam Al-Khoi and another by Sheikh Hilli, certifying that he had attained the level of ijtihad, that is, deduction of legal judgment in matters of religion.
Sheikh Tawfiq, we are talking about Islamic laws according to Ayatollah Sistani. And I'm going to start this episode with this common question. And that is, in fact, we today live in a very compact places. And sometimes we have to take a bus, we have to take the subway station, and sometimes we are jam-packed into each other, you know, in the cars. It's desirable, in fact, to take a shower and to be neat and clean, but sometimes it is not possible, so people carry with themselves perfume. All right, so they wear perfume, especially women.
Yes.
Is it basically or essentially permissible for a woman to wear perfume in public?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ayatollah Sistani is of the view that it's permissible for women to wear perfume. It is permissible per se, okay? Mm-hmm. But depending on the intention, okay? The intention is very important. If a woman wears perfume to attract non-mahram men's attention and to cause them to fall into a sin, it is not permissible. But if she wears perfume to be fragrant, okay, and for her own self, for her own sake, as she wears perfume because she likes it and there's no such evil intention mm-hmm. whatsoever about wearing that perfume, then it's permissible. There's no objection to the woman wearing perfume.
So it all goes back to the intention.
To the intention, okay? And it's better for a woman not to wear perfume when going to public, where there are men and they might get attracted to her, okay?
Right.
It's better to avoid wearing perfume. But wearing perfume for men is highly recommended. And of course, during prayers, even men and women both, it's good to wear perfume, okay? Now, there's a question about some kind of perfume having alcohol, you see, because according to some religious authorities, alcohol is impure.
Yes.
So the perfume is mixed with alcohol, and whether mm-hmm. it is permissible to wear perfume which is mixed with alcohol. Of course, Ayatollah Sistani is of the view that industrial alcohol is pure. Yes, it's permissible, and even if the quantity, there is a big quantity of alcohol inside perfume, still there is no problem mm-hmm. Using that perfume. And you see, nowadays we are using, for example, hand sanitizers.
Yes.
And these are also actually mixed with alcohol, using these types of alcohol.
Or products of
yeah,
alcohol.
Products. Yeah. Hand sanitizers are permissible. And of course, there are some Shia Muslims who are still under the impression that hand sanitizers, because
yes.
they contain a high quantity of alcohol,
mm-hmm.
it should be impure. But it's not the case, of course. Muslims can use those hand sanitizers and can stay safe.
I see. Sheikh Tawhid, is it permissible for a woman to wear collyrium or kohl or any products of the sort and the like, such as mascara, for example?
Well, there is a difference between collyrium or kohl and mascara. Mm-hmm. According to Ayatollah Sistani, it's not permissible to apply mascara. It is forbidden, okay?
Mm-hmm.
As far as kohl or surma, or let's say then collyrium is concerned, because these are three words which we
yes.
generally use interchangeably,
mm-hmm.
But they come from different languages. Of course, kohl is allowed. Collyrium, which is the same as kohl, is permissible, and there is no problem in using kohl. For women can use it.
The Office of Ayatollah Sistani is currently providing the following services. 1. Board of Istifta, replying to religious questions. 2. Helping the poor, needy, homeless, and those who have suffered losses by earthquakes and floods. 3. Sending books for people who want to understand and learn Islam. 4. Hajj delegation. 5. Sending preachers. Board of Istifta is a link between Ayatollah Sistani and people. It provides them with answers to questions pertaining to religious, ideological, social, and educational matters in accordance with the verdicts and rulings of Ayatollah Sistani. For more information, visit the website of Ayatollah Sistani at www.sistani.org. You can also ask your questions through the following email, english@sistani.org.
You know, we know that some women, in fact, try to beautify themselves by shaping their eyebrows and threading their faces, all
yes.
right? And if they do so, do they have to cover their face when they go out in public?
Well, shaping the eyebrows is permissible. Even for men who might want to shape their eyebrows, there's no problem. Women
mm.
can also shape their faces, and they can also thread their faces, removing the
mm-hmm.
tiny hair
mm-hmm.
from their faces. Of course, it is permissible. And of course, what is important for women is to cover their makeup, okay? Shaping the hair and removing and threading are not considered to be a kind of makeup, okay? It's not makeup, because you just remove the tiny hair and you keep your face clean, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or women keep their faces clean using the threads. But things which are considered in common view as zina or beautification or makeup or adornment, and things like these must be covered from non-strangers. They should be concealed, okay? And a woman going out of her house should not, should not make these things visible, okay? If she may be seen by a man, then she should cover them. Otherwise, there's no need for covering the ornaments and the makeup.
But basically, this is not a type of ornament, right?
Yeah.
Like threading the
yeah,
face?
As far as shaping is concerned, these are not considered
yeah.
zina. It's not considered
yeah.
zina, yes.
So they shouldn't
they
cover their
yeah,
faces?
Yeah, they shouldn't
yeah.
cover their faces in
I
this
see.
Case.
Okay. Is it permissible for a woman to dye their hair, you know, or her hair? Doesn't it affect their, wudu and ghusl? Ritually speaking, what does Ayatollah Sistani say about that?
Dyeing one's hair is permissible, and it does not affect the wudu and ghusl, because basically it's not necessary for a woman to wash her hair for ghusl, okay? Mm-hmm. Because what is important is to make water reach the scalp,
yes,
the skin of one's head.
Yes.
And as far as wiping during wudu is concerned, if a person wipes with his fingers or with his palm near the roots of the hair or on the scalp, that's sufficient. But if, let's say, there are substances,
yes,
there are substances in the eye of wood, the dye, the color contains,
mm-hmm,
substances which prevent the fingers from reaching the scalp or reaching the roots of the hair, the parts which are near the roots of the hair,
yes,
then it's not permissible. And of course, one can see whether the dye has any substances or not, because once a woman dyes her hair, she can see for herself whether there are any substances left on or not. If those substances are left and if they can be removed, she should remove it. Otherwise, according to Ayatollah Sistani, there is no problem in dyeing one's hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there is no objection to a woman dyeing her hair, and no matter what conditions she might be, even if she is in her menses, because this is one of the questions asked by Muslims, by Shia Muslims in,
mm-hmm,
in the Indian subcontinent, because,
yes,
they think that if a woman is in her menses, she cannot dye her hair. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
It is permissible for a woman to dye her hair, even if she is menstruating.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. That was the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun Malajan Ilaha Illahum Ghaffarun Jameelun Wahhabun Latifun Tawwabun Samiun Basir
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Lecture. Sheikh Asad Ja'fari.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنسوا